Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for these daily challenges. And today's Wednesday, so it's the day we take the topic we've been looking at all week, that we've explored in the Bible on Tuesday. We try to apply it to our lives and see the change that it would bring about before we put it into practice tomorrow. We've been looking this week at Jesus' teaching about our self-love being applied to others. Love others as you love yourself, is what Jesus taught. Different from any other application of what we call the golden rule, which is usually a negative out of fear. Jesus words his golden rule in a positive way out of love. Now Jesus always seems to have the Pharisees in mind as he teaches. He knows that the religious lawyers and teachers of his day have taken God's law and tried to make it basically into a checklist. They've wanted to make it into a checklist where they know very clearly whether they've done the bare minimum possible to earn God's love, God's care, to go to heaven, however you want to word it. They were working hard to get through a checklist to make sure they'd done what was necessary. And Jesus always seems to have them in mind as he teaches, because he's teaching the law here in a very different way. It's not a checklist of rules you have to check through in your life. Rather, it is meant to urge us into a relationship with God that overflows into relationships of love with others. It's a good thing he teaches the law that way, because we know that life is never that simple. It can never be described as just a series of checklists to go through, of possible scenarios you might meet. All the time in life, we come across scenarios that we just don't know how to deal with. They can surprise us, where we think we have a guiding principle. We think we have a rule for every possible scenario, and then it all falls apart when we encounter something new. That's why Jesus gives us a catch-all line that can be applied to any scenario. It basically says, put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Now, what Jesus is describing is actually quite difficult to live out. And that's why he says it's like passing through a narrow gate. Passing through a narrow gate, this isn't about necessarily just the number of people who pass through, it's about the cramped nature of that gate, that you can't get through with a lot of baggage. If you're coming with a lot of religious baggage, things you think you've done to earn God's love, they're not going to fit through the door with you. God is not somebody we can approach with a bunch of baggage and say, here, look at all I've got to give you. He doesn't want our stuff from life. What he wants is to be in our lives. And that's why what Jesus is teaching throughout his life and ministry, and what he lives out in his sacrificial death on the cross, is about God coming to us. When we're not able to get to him because of all our baggage of sin in particular, the weight that we brought upon ourselves in rebelling from God and his love, when we're not able to get to God because of that, he is able to get to us. He's able to pass through that narrow gate. And he wants us to come back with him, to leave behind all the baggage of sin that he's dealt with for us. He wants us to leave that behind and come to a relationship with him. But he says it's like passing through a narrow gate. You can only do it if you leave that stuff behind. You might want to consider, what are those things in your life that would keep you from going through that narrow gate? To have that relationship with God that Jesus has bought for you with his death. For many of us, it all comes down to self-centeredness. Really, that's where it all began. When God created human beings and placed them in this beautiful garden where all their needs would be supplied for them, it was just about a relationship. It's just about them knowing, loving, being with God day in, day out, having that close personal relationship. That's what we were all made for. However, that meant having God at the center of their lives. And we humans, ever since then, have wondered what it would be like to have ourselves at the center of our lives, to be self-centered. And that was exactly our downfall, our self-centeredness. Wanting to be our own gods, wanting to be our own rulers, wanting to be the creator rather than the created. And so he uses our self-centeredness to teach us something new. He says, I want you to put others at the center as if they were you. He wants us to treat others as well as we treat ourselves. Well, we're going to try to live that out tomorrow, but I've got a question for you to consider first, and I hope you'll share it with someone. Describe the most self-centered person you know. What do you have in common with them? What characteristics do you share And why is it so hard to admit that? We'll have a great discussion of that with somebody else. I'll see you tomorrow.